Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. My dear fellow redeemed, as we've now been talking about for a couple of weeks, how amazing it is that you and I can claim to be undefeated. That as we gather on these Sundays in Lent and we watch our Lord and our God do battle with sin and death and Satan, we watch that the one who has all strength and might and power is able to defeat the one that we think is so powerful. And yet, as you see that battle rage, there are those times when you and I can be just a bit skeptical, and perhaps you and I have sort of been programmed for that and trained by that as you and I live in this world. Skepticism is when you doubt. Being skeptical is when you are not sure of something that perhaps everybody else seems to think is good and right. You don't really buy into the opinion that seems to be the most popular. You're just a bit skeptical as to what you're being told and to what has been said. And how easy it is for us to fall into skepticism with our Lord and our God. So we turn our attention to one who could very easily have been skeptical. We wish to focus our attention on the first lesson today from Genesis chapter 12. Abram is one of those guys, you know him better as Abraham. Abram is one of those guys that you and I probably wish, I wish I was more like him. That I could just simply have that confidence and that trust. The Lord said, twice you and I hear the Lord come to Abram, and he just simply says, the Lord said, so Abram went. And when the Lord said again, Abram worshipped. It's just what he did. So what is it that God said? Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country and away from your relatives and from your father's house and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and I will curse anyone who dishonors you. All of the families of the earth will be blessed in you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, Lot went with him. Those are some pretty amazing promises that the Lord had given to Abram. They all revolve around three major ones. One is that there's going to be some descendants, and that there's going to be one who's going to bless all people through one of those descendants, and that God was going to give him a certain land. But as you take a look at the blessings that he lists here, he's really got seven of them. Seven things that the Lord lists off for him. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. That's kind of an interesting one because that's actually a command. Be a blessing. As you think about all the things that the Lord had said to Abram and all the things that God had made him to be, now he basically says, now you be what I made you to be. You go be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who dishonors you. And all of the families on earth will be blessed in you. Pretty amazing for one guy. But something needs to take place for these promises to be fulfilled. And if those promises are going to be fulfilled, then Abram's going to have to leave. God basically says, you, out. Time to leave. You, go. You, go. You leave your family. You leave your descendants. You leave your land. You leave everything that you've gotten used to. And you just simply go. And I'll let you know when you get there. How amazing it is that the Lord said, so Abram went. He packs everything up, loads everything up, and heads out, makes his trip, eventually lands in the land of Canaan. The Lord said, so Abram went. As you and I watch Abram and as we marvel at this amazing God-given faith that Paul talked about in the second lesson, there are times when you and I take a look at ourselves and we wonder how well we would have done. Would I have gone? Would I have been the one who went if the Lord would have come to me. And I wonder if we struggle with that, because there are those times when you and I become skeptical. There are times when you and I begin to doubt, because you and I have heard all kinds of promises throughout our lifetime. And perhaps as soon as we hear a promise, we might tend to think, yeah, I've heard that before. I'll be there at 5. Yeah, I've heard that before. We've all probably got a friend or two that as soon as they say, I'll be there at 5, yeah, 6. Maybe that's when they'll show up. Something is going to be delivered. We'll be at your house anywhere between 9 and noon, and about 3 o'clock or so, the box finally shows up. Yeah, I've heard that before. And when we carry that skeptical attitude with us, we might call it pessimism, we might call it realism, whatever you and I wish to call it, that could put a strain. Think about the strain on a marriage if one or the other is kind of constantly hearing the other one saying, yeah, I've heard that before. Think of the strain on a friendship. If you're not really sure you can trust what your friend says, and if you're not really going to buy into the promises that were given. You and I live in a world that is so often filled with opinions and advice and ideas, so much of which we can say, yep, don't believe it. I've heard it before, and it didn't come true then. Takes us back to the phrase that began our service, right? If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And we just get a little skeptical. Do we do that with God too? We sometimes do that with our Lord and our Savior, don't we? We hear His promises, but because we've been burned so often, we begin to wonder if maybe God is no different. That He can say some things, but all around us you've got those skeptics. Last Sunday we had a chance to see a couple of them in our family Bible hour. The adults had just finished up 2 Peter chapter 3. And there we read about those skeptics. That's actually what Peter calls them. And they're the ones that are saying, so where is this coming? You keep talking about the fact that the Lord Jesus is going to come back, and yet generation after generation after generation is gone, and day after day goes by. So where is it? Is it actually going to happen? Of course, you heard it in Satan when he asked Eve, did God really say, can you really trust what God says? Can you really believe His promises? As he tries to plant that skepticism, get us to maybe wonder if God's really in control. You're surrounded by popular opinion. You're surrounded by culture that tries to tell you that the words of our Lord and our God are not really the words of our Lord and our God. They're actually the ramblings of people. It is their take on life. It is their view of the world through the culture in which we live. And so you and I now take these words, and we can perhaps learn something from them, but you are taught to keep in mind that you've got your own culture now, and you have your own experience now, and you have your reason, and so you let your culture and you let your experience in life kind of guide you as you read what this says, and you pick and you choose, because you can't trust all of it. Some of this is just how they thought in their culture, and we, of course, now know better. So you can't believe all of it. And we end up being just a little skeptical. Can we really trust? That's why you and I keep coming back, and we keep reading the Word, and we keep listening to what God has to say, because finally, what's going to defeat that skepticism? It's going to be God's promises. Every promise has been kept. Every promise will be kept. And even if we don't quite know how, we know God will do it. And so we are undefeated by skepticism, as you and I just simply go back and listen to what the Lord said. And like Abram, we go and we live. As Abram traveled, we're told that he arrived at a certain place, and the Lord said something to him again. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to travel to the land of Canaan. Eventually, they arrived in the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land until he came to the oak of Moreh at the place called Shechem. The Canaanites were in the land at that time. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. Abram built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. He moved on from there to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent there, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and proclaimed the name of the Lord. As Abram travels around, he finally arrives. He arrives at that landmark that apparently was pretty well known, that large tree that was over there by Shechem. And when he arrives, the Lord said another amazing promise. You're here. You've just arrived. This is the land that I am sending you to, and I'm going to give this land to your descendants. So Abram looks around. Again, you and I stand in absolute amazement because when I put myself in Abram's place, I'm not sure I would have reacted the same way he did. Abram looks around and he ponders all of these promises. And so here he is in the middle of this land. He is 75. His wife is 65 and unable to have any children. So this whole idea that there's going to be a descendant, the many descendants, seems rather impossible because he has no children and doesn't appear that he's going to have any children. And yet he had packed up and he moved. Now he arrives near that amazing tree, that big oak tree in Shechem, and he looks around and the Canaanites are in the land. And God comes to him and says, this is your land. You suppose the Canaanites are going to take a look at one man, his wife, and his nephew and say, when would you like closing to be? We'll move out for you. How is God going to keep these promises? How is it at all possible that he is going to become a father and he's going to have all kinds of descendants and this land is going to belong to him when he has no children and there are already people there? How is that even possible? And yet the Lord said, and just as Abram went, so Abram worshipped. We're going to try something just a tad different this morning, because you and I in our congregation are facing things that could perhaps make us wonder about God's plan. So I'm going to pause for a little bit. Mr. Dean Buchanan, who is the chairman of our congregation, is going to give you a little update on some of the things that are going on, and then we'll come back and we'll finish up with Abram. So. That's what I was going to say. That's all right. Sometimes you take a look at what our Lord and our God has set before us, and just like Abram, you and I may wonder, how in the world can we do all of this? Through all of those school board meetings and through all of the council meetings and the voters meetings, we have been regularly reminding ourselves, none of these are problems. We're not talking about closing doors. We're not talking about cutting down staff. We're not talking about closing up programs. Every single one of these things is an amazing opportunity that our Lord and our God has set before us. He has given us a school filled with teachers who love to tell your children about Jesus and are dedicated to keep that going. We've got a community where people are moving in this direction. We have a pastor and his family who are excited to join us come April and May. We've got all these amazing opportunities. We've got all kinds of folks who have been given gifts and talents and resources, and we have all kinds of opportunities to use them. And the only thing that might possibly stand in our way is a little bit of that inborn skepticism that says, well, I'm not sure. Well, you can be sure. The Lord said, so Abram went. What did Abram do when he looked at a nation filled with people and a land filled with folks that probably were not going to move just because he arrived? What did he do? He worshiped. Set up an altar, proclaimed the Lord's name. He became a missionary. Public worship. He became a missionary as he proclaimed to everybody around them who he was and who he was worshiping. And now you and I get the exact same opportunity. We look at all of these things that are coming up, and we look at all of these decisions that are being made, and you and I know more than Abram did. We know where we're going. We know how we can handle it. We know what our goals are. And so we do the same thing. The Lord said, I am said. The God who doesn't change is the one who's talking to you. I am has always been there. And just as he watched over Abram and carried out every one of those promises, I am will keep the promises he makes to us. I am is the one who is constantly there in his word and in his sacraments. He is the one who is going to tell you, I'm with you. I'm taking care of you. I have removed your sin. I have opened up heaven's gates. Here's the very body and blood of the Son that I sent. Here is his precious words that he spoke. Drink deeply of that living water that I am gives to you. I am is the Lord of this church, this congregation, this school. And he's the one who watches over us. So what do? We worship. We gather. We rejoice. We listen, we sing, we pray, and we work. And we take all the gifts that God gives to us and all the time that He has offered, and we listen to what the Lord said. And then we go, and then we worship, and then we watch as our Lord and our God carries out His amazing will. Amen.